This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Resource Center, the show where we discuss the tools and techniques you need to be at the forefront of the ever-evolving world of business. Good morning, this is Audrey Raj. So as we all know, the COVID-19 pandemic has given rise to an e-commerce boom. We've had to do everything online, work, shop, socialize, making e-commerce one of the fastest growing markets in 2020. This is why many companies and retailers are now looking at how their businesses can better capture this online growth and, of course, a bigger share of consumer wallets. And to do this, e-commerce expert Mitch Bitterman says you need to win at the volume game. And he's online with us right now to share insights into how businesses can drive social commerce sales and gain market share through smart customer acquisition strategies.
Hello everyone, my name is Mitch Bitterman. I'm the Executive Vice President E-commerce Asia for TMI. And what I do on a day-to-day basis, I help our clients to accelerate whatever they do on e-com. That means build, scale, and optimize their e-commerce and omni-channel business.
Right. Excellent. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I thought we'd start with what's happening today, you know, trends in Malaysia right now that are driving the growth of online and e-commerce, and also how consumer behavior has changed, especially over this last year.
Yeah, sure. So how it has changed in today's business is, first of all, you have more and more digital savvy middle class consumers in Malaysia, which have a good exposure on international brands, and they always look out for great deals. And of course, during COVID, with the movement control order, MCO, which happened, a lot of the consumers who used to go into shopping malls, they are shopping from home out of a sudden. So that's one of the things which a lot of brands and retailers have experienced is really that people are flocking more to go towards online, buying products there. And even with this recovering now, there's still this recovery MCO. That means even though some of the retail stores are opening again, a lot of the consumers have adapted to buying online because it is more convenient. They get it delivered at home. And by the end of the day, they're also not running the risk of getting affected by COVID if they go to a store because they can just wait in the safety of their home for their products.
Are there any other trends here in the country that is driving the growth of e-commerce?
Yeah, definitely. There is so one of the things definitely in Malaysia which helps is the government, who supports a lot. They have a national e-commerce strategic roadmap. You have organizations such as MDEC, who is leading Malaysia's digital economy. And that is definitely something which helps. And on top of it is as well that people are more and more having the opportunity to buy on social commerce. That means going online and directly buying the products where the demand happens.
So prior to COVID-19, before this pandemic, it was estimated by Google and Temasek that the digital economy will reach some $300 billion by the year 2025. We're only 4 years away. And this is, of course, across Southeast Asia. But with this recent acceleration, what kind of numbers are we looking at here? Because, you know, nobody could have predicted what happened last year and this accelerated adoption of e-commerce, right? So how much of this will be e-commerce? What kind of numbers are we looking at here?
Yeah. So I'm definitely keen on the 300 billion by 2025. So that's definitely feasible. If you're just thinking about that this year alone already, we're hitting 100 billion. And one of the things which a lot of the brands, and I used to work for a brand before, where the current business was something pre-COVID around 5 to 7%, out of a sudden accelerated to 25 to 30%. Within a couple of months. And this is something obviously which was unexpected for a lot of the big brands and a lot of the retailers, but it just tells every brand that they have to get all the organization together and have to make sure that the future is e-commerce, and they have to accommodate to that change, and they also have to put the organization as well as their systems into place to support that growth.
Mitch, I want to talk about the volume game. Now, what is it? What does it involve? And why is this the winning strategy in this current business environment? Maybe you can explain it to me like I'm a five-year-old. Just take me through it.
Good thing, yeah, can do. So why the volume game? So basically what happens here in Southeast Asia with millions of people, which we have, a lot of them are not even online. And I think there are some studies where you see that alone this year, another 40 million people in Southeast Asia came online the first time, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, they want to buy online. So what does that mean? In the past, they only had like brand.com. Yeah. So that means like the Nike, the Adidas, the H&M and whatnot. So they could only go to the website of that brand and buy. Now they have multiple choices. They can go on marketplaces such as Lazada, Shopee, Zalora. They can look for their products. And now they can even go on Facebook and Instagram and see what the products are. So that means by the end of the day, they have way more choices than they ever had before. And the main task for any brand and retailer is really how to have a multi-channel approach and really be able to serve all the different channels. And that's why we call it the volume game.
Do you have to be on multiple channels in order to, well, ensure success?
Yeah.
Can't you just stick to your own website or just stick to one marketplace?
That's a very interesting question. So I would say in general, multi-channel is the way to go. And the main reason is there is a lot of people who would not go on a brand.com. There is a lot of people who are only going on Lazada and Shopee. Yeah. And so that is definitely one trend of what we're seeing. And the risk, if you were to only run your brand.com, you would lose out on a lot of sales. One of the things what you can do, obviously, to differentiate your offering, you could say my brand.com, this is my state of the art. This is my flagship store. Like you would see it in Bukit Bintang, in Orchard Road or wherever it is. Right. This store is always open, has the full assortment. And then you're using marketplaces maybe for products from the last year, something which is more discount driven, right? So you can basically, for different consumers, you have different offerings.
Would you also recommend this strategy for smaller size retailers, those that are just startups, just starting out in the business? Would you want them to kind of spread out as well over marketplaces and their own brand.com?
Yeah, I think if it comes to smaller players, I even encourage them more to go into marketplaces because one of the things is the audience is there already. That means the only challenge what you would have is once the audience is on that marketplace is to bring it into your own shop-in-shop. Whereby if you have your own brand.com, then you would need to spend quite a lot, first of all, to run the platform, be it Magento, be it Demandware, be it Hybris. And that's one thing. And the other thing is driving the external traffic from Google and Facebook to your website. And this is quite costly. So I would definitely say I would start with marketplaces, first of all, and then look for a partner, an enabler who maybe can do a revenue share. Yeah. Mm. So you don't have the high upfront costs, but you can rather scale it. And while you scale, you just give a percentage of your sales to that enabler.
Okay, Mitch, let's get into the nitty-gritty. How does a retailer or business win at this volume game? What exactly do they need to do? So first, of course, like you mentioned earlier, they need to be present on multiple marketplaces. Are there like new e-commerce tools that they should be looking at when they are on these marketplaces? Because, you know, the trend all of a sudden over these last few years was the live streaming, right? Like you see on Alibaba and also on Lazada. So is that something that they should be thinking about as well?
Yeah, 100%. So that's definitely something which brands, be they small, be they big, that doesn't matter, but really look into the new trends which are coming. And I think we just have to look towards China, what's happening here in Southeast Asia soon. So you just mentioned one of the parts being that a lot of live streaming, animating people to buy. People go online not to buy anymore solely, they're going to be entertained, right? Mm. And this entertainment can happen in terms of live stream, it can happen in terms of playing games. And if you just look at it on Shopee 12/12, they had like 4 billion games played during that period. So the people really want to be entertained in a way. And I think this is something which you as a brand should support. And it's also easier to get eyeballs to your products. And so that's definitely one piece. And the other piece, which we are seeing from when we are speaking of China, and why China, obviously, you have Lazada and Shopee backed by Alibaba as well as Tencent. And the reason is because they're spending a lot of dollars into those companies, right, to grow Southeast Asia. And so a lot of the trends naturally will come here. So you had China, you had Tmall. Now, since 2 years, we have less mall, right? So there is a lot of trends coming. And now you see even in China, they have a platform called Pinduoduo, which is like a buying together platform, right? Where people just come together, buy a pair of shoes and look at all their friends and they buy this the same pair of shoes. So they get a volume discount. And this is something which the likes of Lazada are already looking into and see how we could, how they could basically offer that to consumers here in Southeast Asia as well.
Mitch, what about a social commerce site? Any new tools or aspects on the social commerce end?
Yeah, social commerce is really crazy in terms of what's going on right now in the market. So you see a lot of the platforms, the social commerce platforms, they're coming now with new features, right? So if you just look at it, for instance, you have a Facebook Marketplace, you have ShopTab on Instagram, yeah. WhatsApp is rolling out now a buy button, which will enable the consumers to buy within a conversation to buy a product in their business account. And the latest one, which I think is super interesting, TikTok, they just announced that they partner with Shopify. So they will allow consumer to buy directly on their website. Mm. And this is something which is a massive threat, if you ask me, to all the big marketplaces, because there is no need to go to that marketplace anymore, because the demand is directly where the demand happens, directly on the front end, it will be directly closed already. And I think this is something which not only the ones which I just mentioned, but you can even think a little bit further. If you think about Gojek in Indonesia, for instance, started as ride hailing, going more into shopping. Look at Grab. Grab, you can already collect points and you can redeem your points for vouchers for shopping. You can do it for Apple products. When will those channels start already, or those platforms start to sell products as well? And I think this is something which is super fast moving. And even if everyone jumps on Lazada and Shopee, I think we still need to watch out what are the other platforms which are coming into the market. And I think brands still need to wait and they need to be able to serve all those different channels, even the emerging ones.
It's time for us to take a break, but when we come back, we speak to Mitch about personalizing your marketing tactics and also the rise of social commerce and how you can get in on that. All that and more happening on Resource Center right after this quick break. BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey there, you are listening to Resource Center. My name is Audrey Raj. Online with me right now is e-commerce expert Mitch Bitterman, who's also the Executive Vice President of e-commerce for TM Insight Asia Pacific. Mitch, before we carry on with how to win at the volume game, maybe you can tell us a bit about TM Insight and some of the businesses that you guys work with.
Yeah. So what TMI Insight does is they help a lot of brands and retailers on supply chain optimization. Yeah. So meaning looking into network strategy, DC strategy, if they need a new DC, what is the right location for it? That's one part of the business. The other one is property advisory. And property advisory really going more into, they know already they need a DC and we help them to secure the site and everything. The next part would be project management, helping them to implement. And then freshly now, obviously, the e-commerce consulting, where we help brands really to look into where they want to grow. So something is a bit more business plan. The other one is the execution part of it. And the last one is innovation. Yeah. And so these are the ones. And if it comes to category, it doesn't really matter that much. It could be FMCG, it could be healthcare, logistics, could be technology companies, fashion. So it's really anyone who is touching the e-commerce space. Mm-hmm. And together with my team, because we worked not only for brands, but also for 3PLs, as well as marketplaces. So we even have people who worked for Zalora and Zalando in Europe previously. And so we have really the whole spectrum. And the way how it normally works, we talk to brands and we just listen. First of all, listen not so much about us, but more about finding out what they are about.
Yeah.
And then we come up with some with a customized or tailored solution of how we could help them.
So if everyone is playing this volume game and trying to be the best at it, Mitch, is there a need to kind of personalize your marketing tactics so that you can stand out from the crowd? Or I mean, does that make any sense?
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, you just take it as a normal consumer, yeah? If you're going to Pavilion, Surya, or Mid-Valley or whatever in KL, right? You're just looking at the shopping window, and it's for everyone the same, yeah? Mm. And whether you like shoes, whether you like skirts, it doesn't matter. There's just one or two products which you see in the window shop. When you go online, you have way more variety. That means based on people leaving cookies, traces directly on the website, you know already what they're looking for. And if you just now, Audrey, if you are like this red pair of shoes, right, and you keep on going to the website, why let Audrey all the time search for those shoes? Why not give her the shoes straight away at the starting point, right? And maybe give her even a good offer for it. And this is something which you have tons of opportunities, and what it allows brands, obviously, and businesses to also distinguish themselves from competitors and for their products and services, right? And this is something which is super crucial. And the other part, which is at the same time super important, is having unified content. That means if you have your red pair of shoes now, right, it needs to have the same picture everywhere. If you're starting now, you know, having different angles, different content behind and everything, right? A lot of people will question whether it's the real deal, yeah? And that's why unified content is something what we are preaching the whole time, because it also gives you more credibility as a brand.
Mitch, in your personal experience, have you seen a brand do this well? Like play the volume game, but also have personalized marketing tactics that really works for them in gaining attention and recall and also customer loyalty?
Yeah. So I don't want to make too much too much win for my ex-company, but I think Adidas was on a good track, definitely, especially if it comes to multi-channel. So they had a very strong on brand.com, which everyone knows, in six different countries. At the same time, they're also they're on Lazada, on Shopee, on Zalora, on Central Group, Tokopedia, right? So, and even now on social commerce. They started a little bit late. So you saw on social commerce mainly FMCG products, but now Adidas started even there, and they also did some partnerships with Grab. And I think this is an excellent approach already to say, you know what, we'll do it. We'll have the same unified content across all the different platforms, and we leverage. Coming to the personalization part, this is something where there is a lot of partners out there who help you on that. And rather than charging you high fixed fees, they can also give you a revenue share and say, you know what, I'll help you to drive sales while people are on your platform already, and I'll get a percentage of whatever you're selling. And I think Adidas, but Adidas is not the only one. There is plenty of others who are very strong and pushing a lot. And if you ask me who are maybe the leads from that perspective, I would say someone like a Samsung is doing super well online, not only on brand.com, but also marketplaces. If you would ask me for best in class in terms of FMCG, definitely L'Oreal. So L'Oreal is super strong if it comes to that, whether it's brand.com or marketplace. They work with a lot of different models. They do a lot of bundlings to different sales channels. And that's something which, if I would be in a brand position, I would probably look at those guys who are leading the pack.
Right. Mitch, just before we wrap up, what should brands be cognizant of as they accelerate their online channel strategy, you know, to ensure growth is sustainable for them in the long term?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So one thing what brands should definitely do is they should look at where they are right now. And with where they are right now, meaning like what are the pain points they're facing today? And especially during COVID taught us in a way, it's like little problems can become huge problems during that COVID period, right? And one of the things a lot of the brands which we saw here in Southeast Asia who are struggling with were really from a back-end perspective, meaning the whole fulfillment delivery part. And one of the things which they can do for the future is, first of all, not only have one partner, have several partners to fulfill the demand, right? And the most important part, I think so as well, is because e-commerce all those years was only short-lived. People saying like, okay, where do I want to be in the next 1 or 2 years? But I would say, I would challenge it and would say, you know what, where do you want to be in 5 to 10 years in order to still stay relevant, compared to your competitors? And this is something which they need to look at. And this is something where we help, where we say, you know what, let's not just look at your problems which you're facing right now, but let's make sure we help you on your accelerated growth for the years to come.
Right. And Mitch, last one, just before I let you off the hook, we've covered a lot of ground in the last 20 plus minutes or so. But if there are brands out there who are new to the volume game and are about to take their first step, what should they be? Maybe you can just give them some advice as they embark on the volume game.
Yeah. So first of all, they could potentially contact us so we can help them on the journey. That's definitely one part. I think the most important part before starting and everything, come up with the proper business plan. Yeah. Put together where you want to be. What are the relevant marketplaces you need to be? Yeah. Is it fashion? You want to be on Zalora maybe regionally, right? Is it something which is more FMCG driven? What are your costs per unit economics? So it is quite complex. And I think, but the first important part is to not do it in a way half-assed, but to really like look at the overall picture, saying like that's the potential for the brand. And at the same time, looking at people who are in the same brands, who are in the same category as you, how they are doing it. Are they doing it well? And is this something you can piggyback on as well?
Mitch, if our listeners would like more information on what you guys do at TM Insight, is there a website that they can go to?
Yes, of course. Website, they can simply go on tmiinsight.com and they will find us. They can check on LinkedIn, can contact us directly. And more than happy to have initial discussions and see where the challenges are.
I've been speaking with Mitch Bitterman, e-commerce expert and executive vice president of e-commerce for TM Insight Asia Pacific. Now, if you missed out on any part of this show, you can find the podcast on our website, bfm.my. You can also find it on the BFM app, on iTunes and on Spotify. Just search for Resource Center. I'll be back again next week for more interesting insights from the world of business. But till then, this is Audrey Raj. Take care. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.